Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
8:13 now, coming up on 8:14, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Christian Pendleton, board member with the French Quarter Management District, head of Security and Enforcement Issues Committee. Good morning, Christian. How are you?
I'm great, Tommy. Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. Thanks for taking the time with us. Let's talk about, first of all, what it is that the French Quarter Management District does, and specifically you as the head of the Security and Enforcement Issues Committee, just so we know, you know, the context.
Sure. The French Quarter Management District is a subdivision of the state. There are various stakeholders that are elected. We have French Quarter Citizens has a board member, VC Pora, the VCC, Restaurant Association, some of the different hotel groups. The mayor's office has two different appointees. Councilman King has an appointee. So it's made up of a cross-section of stakeholders in the French Quarter. And our job is to preserve, or our job is to make recommendations and drive conversations to preserve and protect the French Quarter, be that from an infrastructure perspective, certainly a culture perspective, security and enforcement perspective. We have all kinds of different committees that work towards that end.
So let's talk about just you as a New Orleans guy. I guess you're from here originally?
I'm not. I moved here 10 years ago from Washington, D.C.
And I was just in Washington, and I will grant you your official New Orleans residency. How about that?
I will take it with pride and honor. Thank you very much.
It's a big purple, gold, and green award. We'll send it over there. And we've got to get the trailer and all that stuff. But seriously, Christian, just as a person that works there, how is the quarter changed, if you can? I know it's hard to quantify, but just gut feel differences between January 1st and now in these 16 days?
I think it, for the people that live and work in the quarter, I think it's a little bit more subdued for sure. I think if you're visiting, it was, you didn't know what you didn't know, if you will. But this was our neighborhood that just got attacked. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the observations that I'm surprised about is it's taken a real toll on law enforcement. I think sometimes people forget that is their job. That's their neighborhood that they protect. And so I think it's had a real impact on everybody who, you know, because again, you walk certain paths and then you realize what happened not 2 weeks ago. And whether that's your path to work, whether you're making a delivery, whatever that is, that's your resident going to their corner store, whatever, you realized what happened just 2 weeks ago. So I think it's still a little somber, still a little bit subdued, but New Orleanians are a very proud people, and it's, you know, what's next that we have to overcome? We're tired of overcoming, but what's the next thing we have to overcome?
Well, what are your thoughts, both as a guy, you know, just a resident of the city? I don't know if you live in a quarter or not, but and also in your position with the French Quarter Management District, and what you've learned about bollards not being there, the bollards that were supposed to replace them that I think now they're reviewing, the barriers that could have been put out, archer barriers that were not put out, they were not deployed. Thoughts on all of that now that, and I guess from what you first thought and what you've learned now?
I think the first thing, and I cannot state this enough, is I don't want to lose track of the fact that this was an evil coward. Amen. Who did an evil coward thing.
Amen. Amen.
And I completely understand that people are looking for a thing to blame, but let's not forget bollards, no bollards. He had the coolers and was walking around. Mm-hmm. So there was no bollard that was going to stop the coolers. Could the bollards have been better, done better, worked, had the work, you know, should the work have been done sooner and all of those things? I understand the need for second guessing. And frankly, I'm glad that we are. I'm glad that we're going back and looking at the bollards that were selected. You know, are they the right bollards? And there's lots of things that have to be considered. You know, what is the plan to maintain whatever we do? What is the plan to maintain it? Because, you know, we can't have this beautiful security system and then not do the routine maintenance to keep it operational and all of those things. What, you know, who is going to do it? I mean, everybody wants to protect the bright, shiny new toy. What are we going to do 6 months from now? What are we going to do a year from now? There has to be a thoughtful plan to create these things, protect these things, and operationalize these things day after day after day. If not, it's just another waste of money.
And I think people do need to remember, going to your point, that, you know, back on 9/11, and I'm not trying to draw a comparison, although both were radical Islamist terrorist attacks, 19 hijackers, 19 people spotted a weakness in the system. They exploited it. That looking back, it was easy to connect the dots, not beforehand. And they've cost about $8 to $9 trillion of damage. 19 guys. That just goes to show you how they've changed, how they can change things when they spot a weakness, and how it's easy to go back. And I'm not taking up for anybody. I'm not defending anybody. But I think that's a good point that people need to remember, Christian, which is, nothing ever is going to be absolutely safe. And with that in mind, I see today they're not going to change routes of the Mardi Gras parades. You know, there's this old saying about if you surrender your, and I know you're a former Army Ranger, that if you surrender your freedom in the exchange for security, you wind up with neither or something along those lines. I'm probably butchering that quote. But here's what I'm getting to. People have talked about making the French Quarter safe and secure. Mardi Gras parades are not going to change. Arthur Hardy told me, and I think this is a great quote, that, you know, when you talk about a guy in a mask walking down the street with an ice chest, that's Mardi Gras. And that's also, when it comes to a SEER 1 event, a terrorism opponent's worst nightmare. So I don't think you can cave in to the terrorists, and I don't think you can change anything just because they spotted a weakness. I think there are some common sense things you can do, and we'll talk about that as it relates to the quarter when we come back, all right?
Absolutely.
Christian Pendleton, board member of the French Quarter Management District, head of Security and Enforcement Issues Committee, former Special Operations Sergeant with the U.S. Army's 1st Ranger Battalion, and now he's Brennan's General Manager. So everybody's got a story, Christian. I'm going to have to book you for an hour just to talk to you and hear your story, because I bet it's an interesting one. 821.
Thank you.
You bet. Traffic, WWL. 826, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Christian Pendleton, board member with the French Quarter Management District, head of Security and Enforcement Issues Committee, former Army Ranger, now the, what do you do at Brennan's? General Manager?
Yes, sir.
I want to hear your story, young man, because I'm serious about this. Everybody has a fascinating story, and I'd like to hear yours. You have to come on one day and tell us. So, Christian,
I would love to do it.
As a veteran, and as a general manager, Brennan's, and working in a quarter every day, was there anything beforehand that did? And I'm not talking about in hindsight, but beforehand that got your attention. And moving.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Forward, how do you balance safety with the flair, the thing that is the French Quarter, New Orleans?
So nothing got my attention. I mean, I thought the quarter has been in great spirits ever since Taylor Swift was in town. I thought there was great momentum in the city. Everyone was excited. Excuse me. Everyone's looking forward to the Super Bowl and then Mardi Gras. So I thought the quarter emotionally from an atmosphere was in a great place. In terms of the balance, you know, unfortunately, there's these moments in life, whether they're in New Orleans or Boston or, again, you referenced 9/11 earlier, mm-hmm. that just remind you you have to keep your guard up. And you have to understand there's that tiny percentage of people that are looking to do evil at any moment. And it doesn't mean you live your life scared. And it doesn't mean that you give up on your freedoms or the things that make you happy. It just means that you always have some part of your mind that's aware that you just need to be careful. It reminds you that you want to do what you can to support law enforcement in their efforts. And it reminds you that if you see something that looks odd, let somebody know, because maybe it's nothing, but maybe it's something.
So among the people you work with, among the people that live there, your regular customers, have they voiced any concerns, any ideas? Because I don't see how the French Quarter or Bourbon Street could become a strictly pedestrian mall. Do you?
No, I think it's natural for people to have these kind of very quick knee-jerk reactions. But the French Quarter is a neighborhood. It's America's front porch. And, you know, people who live there need their cars. They need access to their cars. They want Amazon to come to their house. They, you know, they need to live their life. The business is the same way. Can we be thoughtful, and should we be thoughtful? 100%. We also shouldn't just say no to everything that's different. This bears a serious conversation about where things are and what are the best practices to make it a little bit safer. It's never going to be perfect, but can we do some things to be safer? Should we be towing cars out of there? You know, faster, that are parked where they're not supposed to be? Should we make sure that we have the right bollards in the right places and they're working? Absolutely. We need to make sure there's enough law enforcement in and around the quarter. All of those common sense things we should take a look at, understand, and implement as we decide what's best for the quarter.
Have you noticed the decrease in business or traffic at all? I mean, look, it's going to happen after the holidays, I would presume, but have you or not?
No, not as you said it right. There's always that little lull between the holidays and before you really kind of get going on Mardi Gras season, or for, you know, for us. But, you know, there's a big convention in town right now. You have national auto dealers are coming in next week. So this was a typical slowdown before we ramp up to just crazy times for the next 4 months.
Christian, I don't own a business, but if I did, you sound like the kind of guy I'd want running it. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Anytime.
Christian Pendleton, board member with the French Quarter Management District, head of Security and Enforcement Issues Committee. We come back, we can talk to Cynthia Lee Sheng, president of Jefferson Parish. Haven't spoken to her in a while. 8:30 on the button. Time for WWL First News. It is 8:44, 16 till 9, as we make our way through Thursday morning already. Man, this week seems to have flown by for me. I don't know about you. And then we got a big football weekend coming up. You got the NFL playoffs on Saturday and Sunday, then the college football national championship on Monday night. Cynthia Lee Sheng joins us now, president of Jefferson Parish. Haven't spoken to Madam President in a while. Good morning, Cynthia Lee. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Happy New
Thank
Year.
You. I know. We haven't spoken in a while. Happy New Year to you as well.
Hey, let me ask you this. I was driving home from the doctor a while back the other day and saw a rocking going on the Esplanade Canals. What's up with that?
A what?
I don't know. They're putting rocks on the side of the canal. I just thought I'd ask you about it.
Yeah. No, we're doing a lot of beautification, and the rocks are more of a stability thing, but it is the better aesthetic. So that's kind of the new standard now. We're trying to the thing that always bothered me was the pipes that come out in West Esplanade Canal, all different sizes, and they extend to the middle of the canals so it doesn't erode the canal bank, but they look awful. And we've done new standards for that. So now we do like a concrete pad sloping, and we do the rocks. So as ugly as our canals are, we are trying to make them a little bit more aesthetically pleasing.
Well,
so
it looks nice. I wanted to tell you that. It does look nice. Let's talk about Let's talk about 2025 in Jefferson Parish. What's on top of the list?
A lot going on. So right now we're still in the middle of, I guess, the holiday stuff, picking up Christmas trees. We've done the big curbside pickup, but this is a great project that we do every year. We take everybody's Christmas trees, the natural trees, not flocked or anything like that, and instead of going into the landfill, we help our wetland protection. So we drop them off at Barataria Basin, and it's a great event every year. We have a lot of volunteers dropping off those and stabilizing the shoreline. So we're in the midst of that. We've picked up 2,000 trees already from people in front of people's homes, and we have another about 1,700 that we've collected from retail outlets that didn't sell their trees. And then we've opened up drop-off locations. So if anybody still has their tree and wants to drop it off, they can drop it off at 400 David Drive in Metairie or 6440 LaPalco in Marrero. We're still collecting those until January 21st. So that's a good event, and it helps our wetlands, and it's just the right thing to do, and it's something that we really enjoy doing every year. So we're still in the midst of that, but a lot going on, Tommy. What we're really excited about this year, it's incredible. On February 11th, Jefferson Parish will celebrate our 200th birthday. So it'll be our bicentennial year, and we have really planned out the whole year. We didn't want it just to be one day of celebration with, you know, some kind of formal government, you know, ceremony. We wanted to have fun, let it be, you know, really community-based. And so we have a lot of committees that are working on planning throughout the whole year. But on February 11th, it works out perfectly. We're going to kick off carnival season. So we're going to have, you know, kind of a bicentennial kickoff to carnival, we're calling it, the bicentennial way, you know, at Lakeside Mall from 5 to 7 at night. So if anybody wants to come join us and celebrate all of our crews that help us put on Mardi Gras, I think it's a perfect way to kick off our 200th birthday.
Is it inside or outside, or what's it going to look like?
It'll be inside at Lakeside Shopping Center. Yeah.
And you'll have crews.
And we're going to have a second line band, and all the crew captains are going to be there, and the kings and the queens of all the parades. So it'll be, like I said, a kind of a combination, our kickoff for our bicentennial, but also kickoff to our 2025 carnival season. You know, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
It sounds like it is. I was talking to Newell about security. You know, Newell Norman, you've heard of him.
Yes.
About security.
I've known Noel for a little bit.
I know. And Mardi Gras and all that stuff in Jefferson Parish, and the differences between that and Orleans Parish. After what happened on Bourbon Street as parish president, did you review everything that's gone on in Jefferson Parish, or is this an ongoing thing when it comes to protection against something like this? And again, going back to what Newell said, it is apples and oranges. It is a completely different thing in Jefferson Parish, right?
Well, no, I mean, anytime you know, that was a public event. That was, you know, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day on Bourbon Street, which is very public. And, you know, we're certainly concerned about that. And I've spoken with our sheriff, Joe LaPinto, and he knows the importance of it. I know the importance of it. Our emergency operations center knows the importance of it. So, yes, there's been a lot of meetings going on and a lot of conversations happening. And look, even with the Super Bowl, we're supporting New Orleans in that effort as well. I know the sheriff is too, because that's a regional thing that we all have to help make sure that goes off, you know, smoothly for us as a region and a state. So, yeah, I think everybody in that field was horrified by the events, and you will see additional security measures, I will say, you know, during this whole next couple of weeks for us, which is very, very important for us as a state, you know, the Super Bowl and our carnival season. These are big things for us. And so we all want it to be safe. You can't ever take away all the risks. Obviously you can't ever take away all the risk anywhere. But we are, I will say, everybody's being much more vigilant just this year, seeing the tragedies that happened to us.
And yeah. I certainly don't want you to give anything away, but when it comes to the experience that people will have, be it at, and suddenly my mind goes blank, Cynthia Lee Shang, the Mardi Gras Festival in Jefferson Parish.
Yeah. Now you're making my family grow.
Family grow. Thank you. I'm sorry. I forced yours to go blank. It's this magical power I have.
I can't believe I'm going to go blank on this thing.
I just make people's minds go blank. It's what I do. That's what I do. I just completely erase intelligence and memory from everybody. No, but seriously. And again, I don't want you to give anything away, but when it comes to the experience that people are going to have either going on a parade in Jefferson Parish or family grow, will they notice a difference or not? As far as what
they can do and can't do. No, I think, I mean, maybe there may be some things, but no, look, we, the beauty of it is we want a family-friendly environment in Jefferson Parish for parades, for, you know, this is our tradition. This is absolutely our tradition. That's how I grew up. And we're not going to take any of that away. And if there's just some a little bit more restrictions, it's not going to take the fun away. You know, I think there'll be more assets on the route, you know, but it's everybody's going to have the same experience they always did. I would assume so. Yes, yeah. Of course.
Nothing's ever absolutely safe, and you can't let them take it away. That's the way I look at it. All right, we'll take a break. We come back. Somebody wants to know about pedestrian bridge between Bucktown and West End. Is it shovel ready? Somebody else wants to know about recycling. Somebody else wants to know, are there any West Bank activities to celebrate the bicentennial? That and more with President Cynthia Lee Sheng of Jefferson Parish when we return. 8:51, 9 till 9. I'm Tommy Tucker. Let's look at traffic on WWL. All right, 8:55, 5 till 9, talking to Cynthia Lee Sheng, president of Jefferson Parish. You know, Madam President, every time I have you on, it seems as though I see you on the news later that day or the next day talking about something newsworthy. So I'm going to ask you now, anything going on you want to tell us about?
I don't know. That doesn't sound like a good thing.
Well, no, I'm just, I always notice that. I'm thinking, man, I wish you'd told me about that. So I thought I'd get ahead of it today and ask you.
No, I don't think anything is on the front burner. No, we're just busy with a lot of things. But no, Carnival, Bicentennial, we're just, you know, picking up from break like everybody else is, getting back into the routine. But I hope I'm not on the news later with something.
Are you sure?
I don't know.
All right. Well,
sound like you know more than I do.
No, I don't know anything. I'm just telling you. It just seems like a lot of times I'll see you on TV later that evening saying, "Well, man, I wish you'd have told me that." So I thought I'd get ahead of it and ask you today.
No, I don't think. I don't think so. No. Okay. Nope.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about the recycling first. Somebody texted in about what's going on with that.
So obviously we used to have a curbside recycling plan, and I believe sometime last year it ended. The price was going up. It was prohibitively going to be very expensive. And when the council looked at the data, it wasn't really a successful program. We weren't really picking up as much material that would justify the cost. So we have drop-off sites now. The council did request that we look at doing another, we call it an RFP, request for proposals. So we're in the middle of drafting that and really looking at what would be available for what our options would be for recycling in the future. So our teams are in the midst of drafting that RFP for the council to review, and then we may go out again. And I don't know what that would look like. You know, maybe some kind of getting some people to help us with, I don't know if it would be looking at curbside or additional drop-off sites or bringing in some organizations to help us. I'm not really sure what that would look like yet. So we're in the midst of it. I know it's missed by a lot of people, but we'll look at the options that we have moving forward. I know a lot of people miss that service.
And when it comes to recycling plastic, a lot of people want to do the right thing. And I feel bad about the plastic that I use, but it's not as easy to recycle plastic or effective as people think it is it?
Probably not. And I know, like, when I was really looking at a glass, that we, you know, we stopped recycling glass early on, I feel like, because there was no market for that. So it really depends on the market, you know, how much they can sell it for on the market. And I think we all have a guilt, you know, with a lot of the things that we use. I try to reduce, you know, this one time use for things. I do try to do that just to feel like I'm making a difference. But I know we all consume a lot now, and everything is arriving to us in plastic. And, you know, we've all tried to move to our water bottles and not going through these plastic bottles every time we want to drink of water. So I think it's on everybody's minds. I think the economics don't work for us for a very large recycling program. You see a lot of communities kind of giving it up. So I think we just got to, you know, we're taking a pause right now. We still have the drop-off sites, but we're trying to get the best minds together to see what it would look like for our size of a parish.
And with that, Cynthia Lee Sheng will be on TV tonight announcing a new recycling. No, I'm just teasing. I'm just playing with you.
No.
What about, real quick, what about a walkway pedestrian bridge between Bonneville and, West End and?
Probably in Bucktown. I don't have the latest on that. That bridge was gone during Katrina. I know, wiped that out. And I know when I was on the council side, we were working on that. But I can't give you the latest on that. But I will get the latest and text you, Tommy, if you want to talk about it later.
Please, yeah, it'd be nice.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I will get that information.
Anything
you can
else?
Give it
you
out
got 20 seconds. Anything else?
Pickleball courts. You know, I love my pickleball.
Oh, yeah.
So all the pickleball community is waiting for our Miley courts to open. It'll be some of the largest courts in the region, 9 courts, outdoor covered. Last night they sent me a video. The lights were turned on. I was like, what a great sight to see. So I know the pickleball community is waiting for that site to open. It'll be all open play courts. So we're really excited
about
that.
You've joined the pickleball cult, haven't you?
Yeah. I'm always trying to recruit, just like a great cult member.
We're going to get you deprogrammed. Thank you, Cynthia Lee Shang. We'll be back in a flash. WWL.